ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமகாம். ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமகாம். பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 3 பாதா 4. புருஷார்த்தாதிகரணம். புருஷார்த்தா அத்தா சப்தாதிதி பாதராயணா சேஷத்வாத் புருஷார்த்தவாதா யதா அன்யேஷு இதி ஜைமினிஹி ஆசாரதர்ஷனாத் தச்ருதேஹே சமன்வாரம்பணாத் தத்வதோவிதானாத் நியமாச்ச அதிக உபதேசாத்து பாதராயணஸ்ய ஏவம் தத்தர்ஷனாத் துல்யம் து தர்ஷனம் அசார்வத்ரிகீம் விபாகஹ சதவத் அத்யயனமாத்ரவதஹ ந அவிசேஷாத் ஸ்துதயே அனுமதிர்வா காமகாரேணச ஏகே உபமர்தஞ்ச ஊர்த்வரேதஹ சுச சப்தேஹி. பராமர்ஷாதிகரணம். பராமர்ஷம் ஜெய்மினிஹி அசோதனாச அபவததிஹி அனுஷ்டேயம் பாதராயணஹ சாம்யஸ்ருதேஹே வித்திர்வாதாரணவத். ஸ்துதிமாத்ராதிகரணம். ஸ்துதிமாத்ரம் உபாதானாதிதி சேத் ந அபூர்வத்வாத் பாவசப்தாச்ச. பரிப்ளவாதிகரணம். பரிப்ளவார்த்தா இதி சேத் ந விசேஷிதத்வாத் ததாச்ச ஏக வாக்கியதா உபபந்தாத். அக்னீந்தனாத்யதிகரணம். அத ஏவ ச அக்னீந்தனாதி அனபேக்ஷா சர்வாபேக்ஷாதிகரணம். சர்வாபேக்ஷாச்ச யஜ்ஞாதிஸ்ருதேஹே அஸ்வபத் சமதமாத்யுபேதஹா ஸ்யாத் ததாபிது தத்விதேஹே ததங்கதயா தேஷாம் அவஸ்ய அனுஷ்டேயத்வாத். சர்வானானுமத்யதிகரணம். சர்வானானுமதிஸ்ச பிராணாத்யயே தத்தர்ஷனாத் அபாதாச்ச அபி ச ஸ்மர்யதே சப்தாச்ச அதஹ அகாமகாரே. ஆஶ்ரம கர்மாதிகரணம். விஹிதத்வாச்ச ஆஶ்ரம கர்மாணி. சோ வி கம்ப்ளீட்டட் தி 32nd சூத்ரா 4th பாதம் ஆஃப் 3rd சாப்டர் 457th ரன்னிங் பிரம்மசூத்ரா பிலாங்கிங் டு தி 8th அதிகரணம். And Vyasacharya discusses here the status of 4 ashrama karmas. Every Vaidika is prescribed certain karmas which he has to do in whichever ashrama one belongs to. The duties arise depending upon ashrama. Brahmacharya ashrama, Grihastha ashrama and all that. And Vyasacharya establishes that these karmas have twofold statuses based on twofold vidhis in Vedas. This is accepted in Purva Mimamsa as in the case of Agnihotra. We saw these things in the last class. It is established that status of the karma is decided on contextual basis. Normally, Nitya and Kamya status cannot coexist because one is compulsory while Kamya is conditional. Still, because of Veda Vidhi, Purva Mimamsaka, they accept that there are twofold Agnihotras. A person right from beginning of Grihastha Ashrama, he does Agnihotra due to Veda Vidhi. Because of not doing it involves Papam. Later, if he does it for gaining Moksha, same Agnihotra becomes Kamya Karma because he desires Moksha. Then he comes to know that it can give Swarga Prapti also. So the very Sankalpa changes when he does the Agnihotra. So the Nitya Agnihotra gets converted into Kamya Karma. So the same principle is taken for Ashrama Karma also. So the duties of Ashrama, they are also done for either of two purposes, to avoid Narakam, if it is not done, getting Papam and all, and otherwise to prefer Moksha. So the Nitya Karma, which you do, can be used for Moksha Prapti also. That is the understanding. Nitya karmas that we do can be used for Moksha Prapti also. It gives Chitta Shuddhi, and paves way for jnana. There is a new bhavana or attitude towards nitya karma itself. For example, sandhyavandana karma. It's a nitya karma. Here, kama is chitta shuddhi. Or jnana praptyartham or moksha praptyartham, that is the desire. This is called by a special nyaya called prithaktvan nyaya. Yesterday, I talked about that. So the same karma is connected to two different people in two different ways. Nitya status of ashrama karma was mentioned in the 32nd sutra we saw in the last class. Now we will go to the kamya status, which is going to be discussed in the 33rd sutra today. Let us read. Sahakaritvena cha. The sutra is Sahakaritvena cha. 33rd sutra, 4th pada, 3rd chapter. 458 running Brahma Sutra. So the topic that commenced in the previous sutra, Sutra 32, is continued here. First, let us do the general analysis of the sutra. Here, the very same ashrama karma to avoid papam can be utilized for a different mode. The desire being to gain jnana. Chitta shuddhi praptihi as sahakaritvam. That is why sutra is sahakaritvena cha. It is contributory means to produce knowledge, self-knowledge. So nitya karma will not directly produce atmajnana. We should be very careful. By going on doing sandhyavandanam, I won't get atmajnana. It will make me eligible. For this, Vedantic study is required. Regular sandhyavandanam, japa, etc. will help to gain chitta shuddhi, which helps to gain jnana. When I have the intention to get moksha, and if I do sandhyavandanam to get chitta shuddhi, and if you have that motive, then sandhyavandanam is moksha kamya ashrama karma. Moksha kamya, it is akamya karma. Moksha kamya, it is ashrama karma. In the brahmacharya ashrama, grahastha ashrama, he does all that. Now let us do the word analysis. Sahakaritvena. Ashrama karma should be performed as a contributory means of knowledge also. Sahakaritva. So this is the meaning, running meaning. And the significance of the word sahakaritvena as a contributory means. It means for the jnana utpatti, several means are there. We have talked about all those means in various occasions. Number one, systematic Vedantic study for a length of time under the tutelage of a guru, all that. And number two, proximate contributory means in the form of sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. Then we talked about remote contributory means. And then karma yoga, upasana, all that. Number three, so all of them together are responsible for jnana utpatti. Therefore, every means is called a contributory means. Ashrama karma is a contributory means. And the word cha, cha indicates conjunction to add to the previous sutra, 32nd sutra. So before getting further, I want to add an aside point. It's not directly related to this, but it's an aside point, good to know. Shankaracharya discusses this in the Gita Bhashyam also. And the point here is, the ashrama karmas, which are compulsory, can be converted into kamya karma to achieve a particular goal. And that is the topic we are doing now. And what is the result one can accomplish through this? Shankaracharya says, they can produce two types of results. One is the materialistic result of swarga prapti. A person can get swargadi lokas. All duties, if one performs properly, then one can get swarga prapti. So doing family duty ensures swarga. If a person goes on doing family duty sincerely, he will also get swarga. This we call it materialistic pleasure. The logic Shankaracharya gives is, whatever Veda prescribes, phalam must be there. Doing one's duty is prescribed by Vedas, there should be a phalam. Swarga palam, we should assume, even if it is not mentioned there, we can very well assume, because Veda guarantees that there is palam for a person doing the duty very well. And the second palam is spiritual benefit of chitta shuddhi, guru prapti, shravana prapti, jnana prapti dvara moksha prapti. All that one can get, that is the second phala. So every ashrama karma has got swarga phalam or moksha phalam. Then it will come under kamya karma. Now let us, one can ask a question. Do you want swarga or moksha? That is a question. You cannot say both I want. You must choose only one. So you renounce swarga iccha, then it becomes nishkama karma. Nishkamataya it becomes. Then it will help moksha prapti. So actually we have seen it also in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita and also 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yaha sa sanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnirna chakriyaha. So all those people who perform the prescribed duties, enjoined duties, without desiring the results, nishkamataya, of their actions, without expecting anything, they are actual sannyasis and yogis. They are all sannyasis and yogis only. Not those who have merely ceased performing sacrifices. They don't become just like sannyasis. Etan yapitu karmani sangam tyaktva palani cha kartavya aniti me partha nischitam matam uttamam. So all those activities must be performed without attachment and expectation for the rewards, for the palam. This is my definite and supreme verdict. Krishna says to Arjuna. Krishna talks about yajna, tapas, all those karmani, they are all compulsory duties, and he says that they will give you either swarga palam or moksha palam. Therefore, it is nishkama karma from the standpoint of swarga. Ashrama karma adhikaranam, again, we'll continue with the next sutra, 34. Sarvathapita eva ubayalingat. So the previous topic is now again continued here. Here Vyasacharya is answering a possible doubt that can come. The very same ashrama karma, we said, has got both nitya and kamya status because of two different vidhis. The question is, when the ashrama karmas have got two different status, will there be any change in the actual performance of the karma itself? I hope you are with me. What is the question? When ashrama karmas have two different statuses, there is nitya status and kamya status, will there be any change in the actual performance of the karma? Somewhere when vidhi differs, karma also differs. That is why this question, because this also mentioned in some other parts of the scriptures, when the vidhi differs, the karma itself differs. Vyasacharya says, we don't have any difference in karma performance at all here. There is motive difference and not in action. There is sankalpa difference, not in action. There is no change in ashrama karma, whether do you do it as a kamya karma or nitya karma. Should I perform the karma twice? One for kamya and another for nitya in that case? This is also another question. Then they say, kamya karmani nityasya antarbhavaha. Nitya sandhyavandanam is included as avantaram. You need not separately perform it. One karma will fulfill both kamya and nitya. So Vyasacharya, he quotes the Shruti and Smriti Pramanam for that. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we have seen this particular mantra many times earlier also. In the 4th chapter, 4th section, 22nd mantra, Tametam Vedanu Vachanena Brahmana Vividishanti Yajnena Danena Tapasa Nashakena. The Brahmanas, they seek to know through the study of Veda, scriptures, sacrifices, etc. No separate yajna is prescribed for Chitta Shuddhi. By doing this karma, they just come. Nitya dhanam will serve both. Person doing dhanam every day. So regular parayanam, that also is like that. So there is also, this is the Shruti support, and there is smriti indications also in the Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter again. Anashrita karma palam karyam karma karoti yaha. So that's just the sloka that I just read. Sa sanyasi cha yogi cha cha niragnir na chakriyaha. So go on doing the regular duty, and the change in sankalpa or the bhavana only. And in this context also, in the 9th chapter of the Gita also, there is another shloka. This is a very popular shloka. Yat karoshiya dashnasi, yat yukoshita dasiyate, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurushva madarpanam. Madarpanam, whatever you do, whatever you eat, yat karoshiya dashnasi, yat yukoti, whatever you offer, whatever you give, dadasiyate, whatever austerities you practice, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, what do you do? Tat kurushva madarpanam, do that as an offering to me only. Ishwara arpana buddhi. We have discussed in detail all that in our Gita discussions. Ishwara prasada buddhi, Ishwara arpana buddhi, and all that thing. With that attitude, a person performs karma. Now let us do the word analysis. The sutra is sarvatha api thai, eva ubayalingat. Sarvatha api. Sarvatha api means in both the cases. Te eva, ta eva becomes te eva. The same duties are to be performed. Ubayalingat. Ubayalingat means this is indicated in both the Shruti and the Spruti. Ubaya means both. Now let us see the significance of the words. First is sarvata api. Literally, by all means, in either case. That's what it means. Whether ashrama karma is used as nitya karma by an amumukshu. Amumukshu, opposite is amumukshu, who is not deserving of sarvalokana, for avoiding papa only. His intention is only to avoid papa. Or whether they are used by a seeker of moksha, for chitta shuddhi and all that. Either way, they have the same duties, ashrama karma only, anushteyaha, to be done. Ubayalingat. Ubayalingat is the hint. Smriti and Shruti lingat, as said in the Smriti and the Shrutis that we just now saw. Now let us go to the next sutra, Sutra 35. Anabhibhavam cha darshayati. Anabhibhavam cha darshayati. 35th sutra, 4th pada, 3rd chapter, 460th running Brahma Sutra. So the previous sutra is now concluded here in this sutra. And here, another role of performance of duties again is highlighted here. Performing my duties has got several benefits. Duties, when we've told many times, when you do a duty, you don't expect a benefit. The benefits are implied. They are built in. You don't expect one, but they are built in. What are the benefits? Avoidance of papam, number one. It avoids papam. Number two, it will lead me to swarga if I want. If I do the same thing as a kamya karma, it may even lead to swarga loka. And if I don't want swarga, it can give me moksha also through chitta shuddhi and all that. One has to go through jnana marga. Of course, prerequisites will be given. And there's a fourth benefit also in controlling my personal, these things like personality, anger, passion and all that. I will discuss a little bit of that later. So study if you really look at the mind of parents, of course we are all parents, and you will find that they will not bother about their old age, but they will be more worried about their children setting up properly. Most parents, this is the height of sacrifice by them. Parents are worried about the children more than their own future. They don't bother about their own happiness. And this 8th adhikaranam of chapter 3 is a very, very important adhikaranam, because entire foundation of karma yoga is given in this adhikaranam. Here Vyasacharya talks of unique status of compulsory duties prescribed in the shastras. Vihita karmani, varnashrama karmani, swadharma karmas. These karmas have got unique status because they give the four types of benefits, as we said earlier. And three of the four benefits that I mentioned are papa nivritti, removal of papam. By way of doing so, it will remove naraka prapti also. It will remove that. One will not go to all these various other places. If not swarga, at least definitely they won't go to naraka. It is very much highlighted by the Purva Mimamsakas, more than us. And they threaten constantly. If you do not do your duties, one will go to naraka. In Purva Mimamsa, they always threaten constantly. If one doesn't do the duties, one will go to naraka. And the second benefit is, as I mentioned, is swarga prapti. And through that, swarga bhoga prapti also. Attainment of heaven and heavenly pleasures. Not only going to heaven, one can enjoy heavenly pleasures also. coming to a, for example, America is considered heaven by a lot of people in so many other countries. But coming here and stay living like a beggar is not a useful thing. One has to also be enjoy, is to be able to enjoy the pleasures in this place, in any place, wherever one is. It is materialistic punyam, which gives material benefits. And this Purva Mimamsaka, they do not accept this. But Shankaracharya, he emphasizes this fact. And Shankaracharya, he establishes also, Sandhyavandanam gives Swarga and gives Chitta Shuddhi to gain Jnanam also. Swarga is a materialistic, it is a benefit. And it will also give me Chitta Shuddhi to gain Jnanam ultimately. If I want spiritual benefit through Nitya Karma, I must positively say, I am not interested in material benefit. But we have to note an aside point also here. If one says Swadharma Anushtanam, it will indirectly contribute to knowledge. Swadharma Anushtanam, if a person does, it will indirectly contribute to self-knowledge. It is not Antaranga Sadhanam. By Swadharma Anushtana, one person gets more and more Mumukshutvam, desire for moksha. That is how it enables a person to gain moksha. Desire for moksha, which was just only an academic desire, becomes a tivra iccha, mumukshutva, desire for moksha. It will produce intense yearning. That's what I call it as tivra iccha for Vedantic study, and it will give conditions for Vedanta Shravanam and necessary willpower also to study, because that is very important. It is to be studied for a length of time, as I told in the beginning, in many occasions, under the tutelage of a guru, competent guru. Thus, the third benefit is through Swadharma Anushtana, by following one's own enjoined duties. Chitta Shuddhi, Guru Prapti Dwara, Jnana Utpanna, Utpakti, all those things are the benefits. And the fourth benefit is Swadharma Anushtanam, even after attainment of Jnanam. That's climax. Swadharma Anushtanam, even after attainment of Jnanam. And in fact, it should continue after attainment of Jnanam compulsorily almost. After Jnana Prapti, it will serve as a fencing, protecting the Jnanam I already got. Otherwise, Atma Jnanam may be disturbed by Raga Dvesha, Viparita Bhavanas, Kama Krodhadis. And temporarily, Jnanam can be clouded also. It has to be kept on guard. A person misbehaves in the situation and afterwards he feels guilty also. Jnanam must be protected at all costs and Jnana Nishta should be attained. Ashrama Karma Anushtanam protects Jnanam and saves Jnanam from Raga Dvesha Abhibhava. All those things. Every moment there is an attack of by Raga Dvesha Kama Krodha, all those things. In an angry person is in fits the way he exhibits his anger. Most of the emotions are caused by mental fits only. When there is an emotional attack, the intellect and jnanam, they get blunted. They are overpowered. Emotional attack becomes an attack of jnanam. That is why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even for jnani such protection is required. The attack of jnanam should be protected. Some fencing is needed. That fencing is one's Nitya Karma Anushtana. So even after Jnana Prapti, after gaining Jnanam also, a person should not stop doing Nitya Karma Anushtana. This is the general analysis of the Sutta. Now let us see the word analysis. Anabhibhavancha Darshayati is the Sutra. Darshayati means the Shruti reveals. Shruti, Vedas, they reveal. Anabhibhavancha, abhibhavam, anabhibhavancha, non-obstruction, also, cha, also. So, let us see the significance of these words. Anabhibhavam means non-obstruction or non-attack. Cha means also. So, this is the fourth benefit that I mentioned just now. And it is joined with other three benefits also mentioned in the previous sutras. So, providing security to jnana. Once you gaining jnanam is difficult. Having gained the jnanam, it should be protected. So this nitya puja, japa, all those things, providing security to jnanam. Whatever be the benefit, there is no change in the way of performing the puja, japa, etc. That's what the discussion was. Is there any change in the karma itself, the way the performance of the karma itself? There is no difference in the steps of nitya karma at all, whether it is done as a, with the nitya status or kamya status for doing the karma. Now the next question is, Vyasacharya says, Stuti reveals the benefits, Shruti reveals all these benefits, and Shankaracharya has already picked and shows the Shruti portion from Chandogya Upanishad, the 8th chapter, 5th section, 3rd mantra, Yesha hi atma na nashyati yam brahmacharyena anuvindate. The atma jnanam of the jnani will not perish. Atma na nashyati. Yesha hi atma na nashyati. It is protected by the ashrama karmas. Brahmacharyena anuvindate. Here the word brahmacharya refers to ashrama dharma, not just a brahmacharya, ashrama dharma, any ashrama dharma, whatever ashrama one is. So brahmacharya is compulsory pratham for all the three ashramas. What are the three ashramas? Brahmacharya ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, and sannyasa ashrama. For all three, brahmacharya pratham is compulsory. Brahmacharya preserves knowledge. With this, the 35th sutra is also over, and the 8th adhikaranam is also over. As I mentioned, it's an important adhikaranam. Now let us go to the 9th adhikaranam. Vidura adhikaranam. Antarachapi tuta drishtehe. 36th sutra, 4th pada, 3rd chapter, 461st running Brahma Sutra. Antaracha api tuta drishtehe. Actually here, this is a very important thing, also message. Widowers, people who are not married again, for example, they are in marriage, one of the spouses is not there, is gone or what, died. So widowers who have not married again, persons who are too poor to marry, and those who are forced by circumstances not to enter into wedlock and have not renounced the world, they come under the purview of these sutras we are going to read now. 36 to 39th sutra, Vidhuradhikaranam. This particular section covers these instances. First, let us do the general analysis of this adhikaram. I hope you are clear the context of this particular adhikaram. Here, Vyasacharya discusses subject matter by way of answering a doubt that may arise in the mind after studying the previous adhikaram. Because after studying the 8th adhikaranam, there could be some doubts. So he is now trying to clarify it through some means here. It was said that in the previous adhikaranam, ashrama karma's duties prescribed for 4 ashramas. They serve as sahakari karana for self-knowledge, sahakari. They contribute. Therefore, they are important. They are contributory means to self-knowledge, so they are important. And because of this, there is a tradition that every Vaidika should belong to one of the 4 ashramas. Can I say Vaidika? Don't be thinking of the priest. We are all Vaidikas. Any person who follows Vedas, who follows Veda Dharma, is a Vaidika. So here, what is the advantage of this division and the duties attached to that? All the belong. So Vaidika should belong to one of the 4 ashramas. One should belong. One does not seem to know Vaidika's duties. Varna Sangraha is one of the problems. Varna Sangraha, Krishna said in the first chapter itself. Problem is, one does not know which ashrama one belongs to. It comes through Arjuna's words. Jayate Varna Sangraha. A person who belongs to a specific ashrama is called an ashrami. Brahmacharya ashrami, grahastha ashrami, vanaprastha ashrami. It is called lingam in Shastra. It's a lingam, symbol. It also gives the dress one should wear. The moment the lingam is specified, your dress code also is specified. From the dress, one can know which ashrama one belongs to. Just as in military, they give different dress to different cadre. So also for women also. Now only it has become uniform dress. Even in dress, there is unisex dress, I guess. So previously it was not the case. So ashrama karma helps the generation of knowledge. And what is the controversy here? Why this is discussed in Brahma Sutra? Due to some reason or the other, suppose there is an anashrami, a person who cannot be strictly classified to one ashrama or the other. He is called anashrami. And the various possibilities to become an anashrami is what? If a brahmachari who has studied and completed the study, and after completion, he should formally end the brahmachari ashrama. Then he should enter into another ashrama called the grahastha ashrama. There is a ritual for that. And that is called snataka pratham. Snataka pratham. A person, this is snataka. Normally when there is an eligible bachelor in the house, they will say there is a snataka in that house. So special snanam is prescribed on that, on after completion of the study of the Vedas. So snataka is a graduated person. He has formally concluded the Vedic study. So the moment he concludes his pratham, he should get married. That is the sampradaya. Otherwise, he will not belong to grahastha ashrama, and he has also formally concluded the brahmachari ashrama, then he will become what? An ashrami. If he immediately after completion of brahmachari ashrama, he goes to the grahastha ashrama, then he got ashrama status. If he is not, after concluding, he is not married, then he becomes an ashrami during that interim period. There should not be a gap in between the two ashramas. In the gap, he becomes an ashrami. There is no brahmacharya entry or the end. So since he does not do anything properly, there is no question of conclusion. Now, just before vivaham, marriage, even without the knowledge of the groom, the priest quickly completes the vratam, snataka vratam, and continues with the vivaha. In all these marriages, there is a vratam done by the boys, people. So that particular ritual is to indicate the completion of Veda Dhyanam and all Padashala education and all that. So immediately marriage is conducted. And the Snataka Vratam and instantaneous marriage, they happen. So one possibility of anashrami is when Brahmacharya concludes this Vratam and does not get married immediately, being handicapped in one way or the other, and therefore incapable of performing ashrama karma. He may be incapable, may be handicapped person. And there is third possibility is, most of the Vedic karmas are possible only in grahastha ashrama. It is because wife is considered as an integral part of all the karmas. Yajna requires 5 factors. We have seen this in our Upanishad discussions. Yajamana, then Patni, the wife, then Daiva Vittam, namely knowledge of the Vedas, and Manushya Vittam, the money and all that thing, and Putra, all these things are needed. So if any Anga is missing, one is unfit for doing Yajna. If Grahastha loses his wife because of the death, then he becomes a Viduraha, one who is free from Bharam. He is a widower in English. So this widower cannot do the Ashrama Karma, that is without Patni, without wife. Or enters Vanaprastha Ashrama or becomes Sannyasi. So if he is unable to do either, then that period of his life is called Anashrami. So such Anashrami is called Viduraha. This is Viduradhikaram. So I'm trying to explain the word Viduraha. So every Anashrami is not a Viduraha, but every Vidura is an Anashrami. Every anashrami is not a vidraha, but every vidra is an anashrami because he should fit into the conditions that I just now mentioned. And what is the controversy here? Anashramis do not have ashrama karmas because they are unqualified to do the ashrama karmas. And in the previous adhikaranam, we said ashrama karma is required to gain jnana. Anashramis, they lose and cannot gain jnana. They are deprived of jnana utpatti. So these anashramis, therefore, they cannot attain jnana. If they cannot gain jnanam, naturally they cannot gain moksha also. So it appears from previous adhikaranam, anashramis cannot gain moksha. That will be the conclusion. Is it true or not? That is the controversy. Whether anashramis will not or will get moksha despite their this angahinam, how do they manage to get moksha, to gain moksha? Angahinam, they cannot do agnihotra and all those karmas. Angahinaha. So one says it cannot and another says it can. This is the controversy. Siddhanti says anashramis also can get moksha. That is what Vedanti says. Shastra is like mother and highly concerned about everyone. No one should be left behind. and one should be given an opportunity to gain moksha, liberation. It is another matter, persons under this opportunity, that's a different thing, let's not worry about them. So this sadhana is japa yajna. They cannot do agnihotra, doesn't matter, they can do japa yajna, they can do japa. And the Purvapakshi says, anashramis cannot gain brahma jnanam at all. That is their contention. And the reasons they give is that what? They cannot purify their mind due to absence of ashrama karma. That is what the previous sutra, 33rd sutra, we already saw that. They cannot purify the mind because they are not to the absence of the ashrama karma. They don't get jnana yogyata, eligibility, due to absence of ashrama karma. And how can, in the absence of jnana yogyata, one can get jnana? Yogyata means eligibility. So Vyasacharya says that Shastra gives the opportunity to all the people to gain Chitta Shuddhi. We have got certain general disciplines that can be followed by all the people. It is applicable to all the ashramas, males, females, married females, unmarried women, for all of them. And applicable to widowed women also, widowed men also. And the most important is the Bhagavan Nama Japa. Nama Japa, Japa Yajna is the most important tool. And in Kali Yuga, all people will have impurity, earn livelihood through corrupt methods. They may not do it directly, maybe through their bosses or through their corporations or through however they get the. You can never ask whether the money one earns comes through all kinds of noble means or ignoble means and all kinds of mixed means. We don't know. My salary is tainted with adharma, maybe. For all the papas arising out of earning, Shastra prescribed Vanaprastha as a parihara. Vanaprastha ashrama as a parihara. In Kali Yuga, all samskaras are absent. All the 41 samskaras I mentioned, they are all absent. All of them, most of them. One side we accumulate papams and another side purifying karmas we give up. Sandhyavandana karmas and all we don't do. It is like working in dirty place and not taking a shower or bath. I accumulate impurity and say I have no time to take bath. So for such people, there is only one way out. In Kali Yuga, all are anashramis almost. Previously, Nama Sankirtana was suggested for minority anashramis. But today, anashramis are majority. Do Nama Japa. My spiritual life is sustained only by Nama Sankirtanam. Doesn't give directly moksha. Be careful. Nama Sankirtanam is still a karma only. It can give Chitta Shuddhi. One has to go through Sravana Mannam and all that to gain moksha. But my spiritual life is sustained by Nama Sankirtanam. This is the essence of this adhikaram. That's why I said it's an important adhikaram. The main idea we should note here is what? In Kali Yuga, Nama Sankirtanam is important sadhana. It is only for Chitta Shuddhi. It will not directly give you jnanam as such. Therefore, Nama Sankirtanam cannot directly give moksha also. After Chitta Shuddhi, one should strive for gaining jnanam through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, all that. So gaining moksha through Nama Sankirtanam is only an Arthavada. Arthavada means a glorification for Nama Sankirtanam. It should not be taken literally. Now let us see the general analysis of this sutra. This is the general introduction. And this sutra says, even without ashrama karma, anashrami can gain purity, knowledge and moksha, all these things by alternative methods. And that is why we say, even there other religious people can follow the method to gain moksha, even other religious people. Vyasacharya says, we have got pramanam in scriptures for all this. And Shankaracharya gives an example of Raikwaha, a brahmachari who has completed brahmacharya and who had not married and he got jnana. This occurs in Chandogya Upanishad. We have gone through this story also. Janashruti and this Raikwa. Janashruti was a king. And Chandogya Upanishad in the 4th chapter, 1st section, 3rd mantra, this has been discussed in Apashudra Adhikaranam. It's another important Adhikaranam there of Brahma Sutra. So another example is Gargi. Gargi is the daughter of Vachaknavi. Gargi is not Yajnavalkya's wife. Maitreyi and Gargi is also the two wives of Yajnavalkya, but this is not that Gargi. Gargi is a Brahmavadini here. So an unmarried woman who became a great jnani, capable of challenging even Yajnavalkya in whose court? In Janaka's court, assembly of all scholars. In that court, she came forward to challenge Yajnavalkya. And it is also said, widow remarriage also is approved by Vedas. In Smriti, it is not allowed. But in Shruti, it says it's allowed. Permission is there, it says. Now let us give you the word analysis of this sutra. Antara cha api tu tadrishtehe. 36 Sutra, 4th Pada, 3rd chapter, 461st, running Brahma Sutra. Tu means however. Cha api, antara cha api. Cha api means knowledge is possible even for those people, antara, who are without an ashrama. Antara cha api. Tadrishtehe, because that is seen in the case of Raikwa, Gargi and other places. That is the instance Vyasacharya has in mind. Now we will see the significance of the words. Even those people without an ashrama, cha api, even in spite of, in the previous adhikaranam we have dealt with ashrama people. Now we are talking about anashramis, who don't have any ashrama. So the previous one talked of majority, and now it is minority. But today it is otherwise. It is anashramis are majority today. Majority have become minority. And the two refers to the negation of Purvapakshi here. Tadrishtehe. Tadrishtehe means adhikarasya drishtehe. Eligibility, yogyata. So there are some sub-commentators who give some other meaning also for this. Gargi comes, they give so many various interpretations. Gargi comes with respect to Nirguna Vidya. Gargi in the discussion with Yajnavalkya in Janaka's court in Brihadaranyaka, Gargi comes with Nirguna Vidya, and Raikwa refers to Saguna Vidya. So between Raikwa and Gargi, this is the difference. Gargi refers to Nirguna Vidya and Raikwa refers to Saguna Vidya. That is the difference. Some commentators make this only an incidental point. Now let us go to the next sutra. Apicha smaryate. 37th sutra, 4th pada, 3rd chapter, 462nd running Brahma Sutra. So the previous topic is continued here. Here Vyasacharya says that there are smriti granthas which talk about anashrami jnanis. Jnanis also anashramis. The big advantage is even varnashrama dharma, they go haywire. Sadhana can survive. Even if varnashrama dharma goes haywire, sadhanas can survive. Veda has envisaged varnashrama becoming unpopular today. Shankaracharya in his commentary refers to such a jnani by name Samvartaha. An anashrami jnani he is. We have heard about such jnanis also in various Puranas and other places also. He followed Avadhuta life without following any Varna or Ashrama. And they also talk about a Rishi, Samvartaha, son of Rishi Angiras also. So many people Avadhutas, this our scriptures talk about. Now let us see the word analysis of this sutra. Apicha smaryate. Apicha means moreover. Smaryate, such references are found in the Smriti Granthas. And the significance of the word is apicha means moreover, as I said. And Shankaracharya refers to the name of a person and not a shloka. He is apicha. He refers to the name of a person. The great Bhishma is also an instance in this point, like Raikwa and all these people. Bhishma also is a great, great person who can be quoted because from the Smriti. Now let us go to the next sutra. Vishesha Anugrahascha. 38th Sutra, 4th chapter, 4th Pada, 3rd chapter, 463rd running Brahma Sutra. So the promotion of knowledge is bestowed on them through special acts, Visesha. Visesha means special acts, Anugraham. So the previous topic is continued here. Now let us see the general analysis of the Sutra briefly. In the previous Sutras, Vyasacharya said, there are Shruti and Smriti Pramanams for anashramis to become a jnani. And Vyasacharya has not answered the question of Purvapakshi yet. It was said, ashrama karmas purify the mind. And anashramis do not have ashrama karma. therefore their mind cannot be purified and hence they cannot gain jnana. This is Purvapakshi. For this, Vyasacharya gives his reasoning. There are certain general disciplines. They are available universally for ashramis and anashramis. In keeping with Vyasacharya's teaching, everybody can get Chitta Shuddhi and also gain Jnanam through Nama Sankirtana. Nama Sankirtana, when I say that, it is Chitta Shuddhi plus all the other things follow. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna occurs in, there is some Upanishad called Kali Santarana Upanishad. Nice Upanishad. So with that support, the Hare Rama Hare Krishna mantra, with that support of Kalisantarana Upanishad, it has the purifying power. It is possible for anyone to gain jnana. It will purify a person, just Nama Sankirtana. There is Upanishad Pramana for that from this Upanishad. Now let us see the word analysis. Cha means and conjunction, and Vishesha Anugraha through special disciplines is mentioned in the scriptures. That I just now mentioned the Upanishad. So here the significance of the verse is Vishesha Anugraha, special universal ashramis or anashramis for both of them. Ashrami or anashrami for both of them, regardless of caste, creed, gender, religion, any of those, any discipline. All this Anugraha means support. And Sankaracharya, he quotes a verse from Manusmriti also, second chapter 87th. Jaye naivatu samsidyete brahmano natra samshayah kuryadanyanna vakuryan maitro brahmana uchyate. By means of repeating mantras, japa, that the brahmana succeeds, there is no doubt, natra samshayah, no doubt. He may or may not do anything else. One comes to be called a brahmana, maitro brahmana uchyate. If he is of a friendly disposition, that person also is called brahmana only, not caste. So perfected by many births, he finally goes to the highest state, guna brahmana. By japa, one can get sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti. And Manu says brahmana, and he himself redefines brahmana as one who is compassionate and considerate person. Mitra bhava. Let him be friendly to everyone. Let him follow japa. This is sufficient for a person to get Siddha Shuddhi and gain jnana. Not to gain jnanam directly, to get jnanam, to get Chitta Shuddhi, and through that to gain jnana. Let us go to the next sutra. Atasvitarajyayo lingachya. 39th sutra, 4th pada, 3rd chapter, 464th running Brahma Sutra. So the previous topic is now concluded. Let us do the general analysis of the sutra briefly. Here, Vyasacharya gets disturbed a bit after writing the previous sutra. As he evolves the sutras. There it was said, japa itself can purify the mind of all the people, whether he does ashrama karmas or not. This provision can be exploited by people. A lot of people will try to immediately exploit it. So acharyas are afraid of exploiting the concessions given in the sutras, in the shastras. So the excuse must be due to genuine reason. So Vyasacharya says, ashrama karmas are superior to the general provisionary sadhanas given in the shastras. Provision given to anashramis should not be exploited by ashramis. Provisions given to anashramis should not be exploited by ashramis. If there is a choice between the two, ashrama karmas should be done. Here, japa, parayanam, nama sankirtanam, they are all prescribed for the anashramis, who are otherwise unable to observe the ashrama dharma and get chitta shuddhi and get jnana. For them, it is prescribed the duty. Japa parayanam, nama sankirtanam, they also will purify the mind. And afterwards, one has to gain jnanam to get moksha. So here it is confirmed that one should normally observe ashrama karmas. That means brahmachari karma, manaprastha karma, grasa, all that. And the name, nama sankirtanam, etc. should be taken up by anashramis. The ashramis may do sankirtana, no problem. in addition to their duties. It cannot be in place of duties. And their duties is not to be replaced by japa and all that. Namasankirtanam and all that. And in support of this, Vyasacharya gives a proof also. He quotes from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 4th chapter, 4th section, 9th mantra. Tenaiti brahmavit punyakrit taijasascha. Let not a brahmana stay for a day outside the ashrama. Ashrama means not this ashrama, this ashrama life, rest ashrama and all that. Having stayed outside for a year, he goes to utter ruin. If a person is nirashrami, goes out of his ashrama for 1 year, it leads to utter ruin of him. And there is a smriti pramanam also. Anashrami na tishtet dinam ekamapi dvijaha. This dvija should not remain without ashrama even for a few days. Na tishtet, even for dinam. He must always belong to one of the four ashramas. He should not be in the ashrama, anashram. The moment upanayanam is done, he formally belongs to brahmacharya ashrama. If he closes it with snataka vratam, before he enters into grahastha ashrama, there is anashrami status in that gap. So this formality is done at the time of vivaha. If ashrami karmas and anashrami karmas are equally efficacious, Shruti need not insist to be ashrami. If both are equally efficacious, Shruti doesn't have, you can say you can be in anything, either ashrami or anashrami. From this it is clear, our first aim is to be an ashrami, for ashrami karma alone is efficacious. The compromise formula of japa is meant for anashramis alone, and it is not meant for ashramis. Now let us give the word analysis. Atas pitarajyayayom lingaccha. That is this sutra. Tu means here, but. And itarat, the other one. The other one means it's part of the other ashram. Jayaha means is better. Ataha than this one, is better than this one. Cha means the conjunction, linga. This is known from the statements of Shruti and Smriti. Now let us see the significance of the words. This is just a running meaning. Jayaha means superior. And itarat refers to the other karmas, itara karmas. It means ashrami karmas or regular karmas prescribed for the four ashramas. Ataha means better than this one, better than this one. So this refers to anashrami karmas, better than the anashrami karmas mentioned in the 38th sutra that we just saw. So both japa and sandhyavandana karmas for brahmachari with sacred thread, the between them, japa and sandhyavandanam, the latter, namely sandhyavandanam only is considered the best for a brahmachari. He cannot say, let me go on doing some nama japa. Sandhyavandanam is considered best for him. If he does not have sacred thread, he can do japa. If he doesn't have sacred thread, he is not in any brahmacharya ashrama, any other ashramas. Nama sankirtanam and all are good for him. Lingat. Lingat means Vyasacharya says it is known from twofold pramanas. It is indirect pramanam. Here twofold indirect pramanas are kept in mind. One is from the fourth chapter of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And he gives as an indirect pramanam that we saw also earlier. So with this 39th sutra is also over, and the 9th adhikaranam is also over. 9th adhikaranam is the 9th topic of this path. And this adhikaranam's name is not based on sutra padam. Normally the adhikaranam is also based on the name of the first sutra, but it is based on the topic for this particular adhikaranam. Now let us enter to the next adhikaranam, 10th adhikaranam. Tadbhudha adhikaranam. Tadbhutasya tu na atadbhavaha jaiminehe api niyama atha tadrupa abhavebhyaha. Long sutra. What is sutra? 4th pada, 3rd chapter. 465th running Brahma Sutra. So the question whether one has taken sannyasa can go back to the previous ashrama, that is being discussed here. A sannyasi, can he become a grahastha ashrami again? Or can go back, can go to that ashram. So the present sutra declares that he cannot go back to the previous ashrama. This is the opinion of Jaimini also. Jaimini also. It is a small adhikarana with only one sutra. So subject matter is, Veda has got four ashramas it prescribes. One should take the four ashramas in serial order. Brahmacharya ashrama is a route map for the spiritual journey. Then the route map consists of three phases, karma yoga, upasana yoga, and jnana yoga, to go through to gain jnanam. This I'm just only telling the steps. So the spiritual journey is a long journey and not a crash course. One cannot get cliff notes for that. It is a long-term plan. And the grihastha ashrama for following karma yoga, vanaprastha ashrama for following upasana yoga, and sannyasa ashrama for jnana yoga. And each ashrama is one for a particular purpose. Ashrama, remember, is an infrastructure. Ashrama is an infrastructure in the social system. And then the Shastra says, according to the level of yogyata, certain options are given here. And in certain cases, Brahmachari can go to Vanaprastha ashrama and Sannyasa ashrama, or Sannyasa ashrama directly. Or he can directly go to Sannyasa also. Naturally, the question comes as to what about a person, one reverting from Sannyasa back to Brahmachari ashrama or Grahastha ashrama? Can Sannyasi marry and become a Grahastha? Many people take to Sannyasa because of some problem or other in the Grahastha life. And after becoming Sannyasi, he is not able to continue due to some problem there. So if he decides to get married, what is our view? What is the Shastra's view? Is it allowed or not? And the Purvapakshi says, logically, it must be possible. He goes through logic and says, it must be possible logically. Sadhana is possible only in Grahastha ashrama. And Siddhanti says, no, it is not permitted. Sannyasi cannot become a Grahastha, and similarly, Grahastha cannot become a Brahmachari. Reversal is not allowed. Once a person enters one ashrama, he cannot go back. Why do we say that there is no avarohanam or coming back? Only arohanam is there. Vyasacharya says there is no Shastra pramanam in support of this. For this reversal, arohana krama is there, but avarohana krama nasti. Now let us see the general analysis of this. Here Vyasacharya says, a sannyasi cannot become non-sannyasi. Vanaprasthi cannot become a non-vanaprasthi. Similarly, Brahmachari is also of two types. I have mentioned this earlier in some other context. One is called Upakurvana Brahmachari and another is called Naishthika Brahmachari. Upakurvana Brahmachari is preparatory to Grihastha Ashrama. He is planning to enter Grihastha Ashrama. So one, he knows that this Brahmachari Ashrama is temporary for him. Thereafter, he will enter Grihastha Ashrama. But suppose if such a Brahmachari, he wants to continue as Brahmachari, remain in the ashrama with the guru for the rest of his life, then that person is called Naishthika Brahmachari. Naishthika means as a lifestyle and not a temporary discipline. This Brahmachari, for Upakurvana Brahmachari, it's a temporary discipline. For Naishthika Brahmachari, it's a lifestyle itself. Shastra says this Upakurvana Brahmachari can become Grahastha. Naishthika Brahmachari cannot become a Grahastha. Abhavaha, there is no conjunction. In tradition, sannyasi cannot become a grahastha. There is no Shastra Vakyam for avarohana, coming back, reversal. For arohanam, it is in Jabala Upanishad. We have seen this earlier. Third reason is also Nema. Shruti positively prohibits such reverting back to lesser order of ashramas. And Shankaracharya quotes Shruti Vakyam and Aranyam yet iti padam tadona punareyat. That is the Vakyam Acharya gives. It means everybody should leave the society and go to forest finally. Either you should enter Vanaprastha Ashrama or Sannyasa Ashrama. Shruti adds, from the ashrama, one should not come back to the Pravritti Marga or Grahastha Ashrama. One should not come back. It is irreversible journey. That is what it says. Now let us do the word analysis of the sutra. Tat bhutasya tu. For a person who has become a sannyasi, na tadabhavaha, there is no further change of that ashrama status. Tadabhavaha. నియమ అతత్ రూప అభావేభ్యః. దిస్ ఈస్ సో బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది అబ్సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ స్క్రిప్చురల్ ప్రమాణ ఫర్ రివర్సల్ ఆఫ్ స్టేటస్ అండ్ ది అబ్సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ కంజంక్షన్. జైమినేహే అపి, దిస్ ఈస్ ది వ్యూ ఆఫ్ జైమిని రిషి ఆల్సో. నౌ లెట్ అస్ సీ, దిస్ ఇస్ ది రన్నింగ్ మీనింగ్. లెట్ అస్ సీ ది సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద వర్డ్స్. తద్భూతస్య సన్యాసి భూత, వన్ హూ హాస్ టేకన్ సన్యాస ఆశ్రమ ఆర్ ఈవెన్ వానప్రస్థ ఆశ్రమ, ఫర్ సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ న తద్భావ, సన్యాసి కెనాట్ బికమ్ అ నాన్ సన్యాసి టు దట్ ఇండికేట్స్ ది నెగేషన్ ఆఫ్ పూర్వపక్షి. పూర్వపక్షి సేస్ ఇట్ ఇస్ పాసిబుల్, బట్ సన్యాసి సిద్ధాంతి సేస్ టు ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్. నియమ అతద్రూప అభావేభ్యః, స్క్రిప్చురల్ రూల్ దట్ ప్రొహిబిట్స్ రివర్సల్ అభావ, రివర్సల్ ఇట్ ప్రొహిబిట్స్. అతద్రూపం మీన్స్ ప్రమాణం ఆర్ శాస్త్ర ప్రమాణం. తద్రూపం మీన్స్ అవరోహణ, అవరోహణ రూప రూప శాస్త్ర ప్రమాణం, ది రివర్సల్ శాంక్షన్ ఫర్ రివర్సల్. అభావ మీన్స్ ది శిష్టాచార అభావ, ది అబ్సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ కంజంక్షన్. బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ రీజన్స్ రివర్సల్ ఈస్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్. సో సచ్ రివర్సల్ ఈస్ స్ట్రాంగ్లీ కండెమ్డ్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ పురాణాస్ లైక్ భాగవతం. జైమినేహే అపి, దిస్ ఇస్ ద వ్యూ ఆఫ్ జైమిని రిషి ఆల్సో. Previously, in the beginning, Jaimini argued there is only Grahastashrama, if you remember. And Sanyasashrama is not there at all. That's what he was telling previously. If you remember, in the 18th, 20th, all those sutras, that's what he said at that time. Here, Jaimini says he cannot return, no reversal. From this also, it is clear that Jaimini is also a Vedanti. Even though he acts like a Purvapakshi for the purpose of clarification only, this I have mentioned also in an earlier occasion. Yo vedadav swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitah tasya prakriti nasya parasamaheshwarah sri krishna arpanam. Purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamadachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate. Om shanti 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 shri krishna arpanam.